tonight in the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And can I reiterate what Kyle has said? My thanks, our thanks to all the young people for taking part tonight. Let's give them a good Free Presbyterian round of applause. Well done, young people. Well done. We're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I want to thank Kyle as well for leading the meeting this evening and for his help. And he'll be coming back. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Good job. Somebody keeps me right. Thank you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And we will read the first seven verses together. It came to pass in that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts. It's just that little phrase at the end of verse 7 that we want to consider this evening as we bring our service to a conclusion. There was no room. There was no room. I want to speak very simply tonight on the subject of indifference at the inn. Indifference at the inn. But before we come to the word of God, let's ask for his help in a word of prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for all that has taken place tonight. We thank thee especially for our young people. We thank the Lord for those that thou hast given to us. We thank the Lord for their faithfulness week after week. We ask, O God, you'll encourage them in their young lives. Bless them, O God, even in their homes and even over this Christmas season. And Lord, we pray now that as we come to the Word of God and the final parts of this meeting, O God, we look to thee. Come, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we cry unto thee tonight for that sense of God, the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray for the help of heaven. We pray, Lord, for the enduring power of God, the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray, come and speak to our hearts. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight, and as we come to consider these verses before us, we ask, O God, that most especially, that you would speak to any who may be here out of Christ and far from thee. Heavenly Father, we pray that even at this Christmas season, may they open their hearts to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us help to hear. Give us help, Lord, to understand. Give us help, O God, to take in the word of God tonight. So hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The birth of any child, of course, is a very eventful and a very memorable event. It's an event that's always captured by photos, by videos that are always carefully stored and kept to remember the birth of that little one. The birth of any little one into a home, into a family, always brings joy and excitement, as well as a few sleepless nights as well. But it's always met with congratulations and presents to mark the new arrival. However, the greatest birth in the history of humanity, which took place just over 2,000 years ago, almost was going to go unnoticed by the crowds who had gathered in Bethlehem that night. The little town was crowded with people. Caesar had sent out the decree that all were to come to Bethlehem to be taxed. Now it was more like a census, a roll call of the residents to get an idea of how many people lived in Judea. I would think that if it was to pay their taxes, they mightn't just been as rushing to Bethlehem as they did. But they were there to form part of a register and a census of all the people. And so the streets were filled. Every space was taken. There was much noise. There was plenty of activity. And yet in the middle of it all, there was going to be born the Savior of the world. The greatest story that ever was told was about to unfold in Bethlehem. The greatest birth that ever took place was about to happen.
And yet that momentous event in the history of humanity was going to go unnoticed and unheeded by the vast amount of people. The first Christmas in Bethlehem for everybody else was just another date in the calendar. It was just another night like any other night. The significance and the real importance of that night was going to be missed by so many. Yes, there was activity. Yes, there was busyness. But the birth of Christ was hardly given a second thought. Isn't that the case still today? Isn't that the case that at this Christmas season, at this time of the year, when we particularly remember the birth of Christ, yet the reason for this season is overlooked and unheeded by the vast majority of people. Streets are full. Shops are packed. Roads are jammed. But no thought for the real reason for this season, the birth of Christ. No thought as to Christ coming into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And as we finish tonight, I want you to come with me to a place which should have been filled with great joy and great excitement. This place where the Christ child was going to be born. But rather we find here indifference. We find here an attitude that people really couldn't care less. There was indifference at the inn in Bethlehem. And I wonder tonight, in this choral service, is there someone here tonight, while you enjoy all the festivities of this season, and you will take part in all that is arranged and all that is planned, but yet tonight, the Christ of Christmas means nothing to you. Your heart is hard and indifferent to the Lord Jesus Christ who came. As we think of this scene here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, in the verse 7, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the obstacles that hindered. Mary and Joseph came to the inn in Bethlehem that night, hoping to find a place for the birth of Christ. Now, this inn that they were hoping to find was certainly by no means a 5-star hotel. It didn't have a 24-hour reception, didn't have ensuite rooms, tea and coffee making facilities, buffet breakfast, complimentary dressing gowns, all those hotel places that you go to. It had none of those. It wasn't even what we would think of an inn as is today. All that Mary and Joseph were looking for that night was just simply something that was an enclosure, somebody's backyard that was covered over where the traveler could stay for a night. Some place of shelter where they could lay down their head. And they weren't looking for comfort. They were just looking for a place where the Lord could be born. You know, even in that we see the great lowliness and humility of the birth of Christ. Even if there had been room at the inn, the backyard in somebody's house where he could have been born, it would still have been a very humble birth. But even there was no room. The innkeeper, just an ordinary individual, just a householder, not a hotelier by any means, just an ordinary man with his property, yet in his rejection of Mary and Joseph and ultimately of the Christ child, there was indifference. It didn't really matter to him. This was just another birth. This was just another family needing somewhere to stay. He was indifferent to Christ. Let me suggest to you some reasons for this indifference, some of the reasons for the obstacles. The first reason I would suggest, the first obstacle I would suggest to you was the crowd. You see, the place was packed. Everywhere was full. The crowds of people in Bethlehem that night led to a great indifference at the inn. The crowds caused indifference. You see, for the innkeeper, the crowds were more important than Christ. Could that be the case tonight? Could that be the case tonight that in perhaps some heart, the crowd, the company that you're keeping is causing you to have no interest, no concern about Christ? No real importance tonight as to why Christ came. What this season is all about tonight is lost on you because of the crowds and the company. Others tonight are crowding out Christ in your life. And like the innkeeper, you're placing more importance on the crowd, the company, than you are on the Christ. Tonight, those in your life are more important to you than giving your life to Christ in salvation. This Christmas time, is the company you keep, are the crowds in your life causing you to be indifferent to the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He brings? The crowds kept away Christ. Is there someone tonight? And it's the crowd, the company in your life that's keeping you from Christ, causing you to be indifferent tonight. The crowd was an obstacle. But another obstacle was that of complacency. The ones who turned Christ away, they were complacent. They were self-satisfied. They didn't see the need for Christ in their home. They didn't see the need for Christ in their lives. They were just living on without any thought of Christ. Their place was full. They were satisfied. They had enough. And this led them then to have no room for Christ. Just a real lack of interest. Is that you? Are you complacent tonight? Are you happy with what you have? And you think tonight you don't need Christ in your life? You don't want Christ to come into your life, to come into your home. You know things would have to change. Something would have to give, and you don't want that because you're quite comfortable tonight in your sin. You're quite complacent. And so you continue on, just let Christ by. As you sing the carols, as you hear the scripture readings, as you take part in all the festivities of this season, are you indifferent, not interested in the whole plan of salvation? Not interested tonight in the gospel that Christ brings? Not interested tonight that Christ Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost? It doesn't interest you. It doesn't bother you. And complacency is keeping you from Christ. The innkeeper that night was brought so close to the Redeemer. Face to face with the Christ child, and yet without a thought in the world, he just turned him away. Is that what you're doing? Without a thought in the world, just turning Christ away. Because as far as you're concerned, your life is comfortable. Life is fine with you. Oh, what a tragedy tonight. Without any thought, without any interest, just turning Christ away. The innkeeper turned Christ away and said, no room. No room. Is that you tonight? You want everything that goes with Christmas, all the trappings. But you don't want Christ. No interest in the gospel. No interest tonight in the one who came into this world to save your soul from hell. It wasn't exactly true that there was no room. Because you see, these householders, they had their own room. They had their own place. They could have given up their own room for Christ. But they didn't want to do that. Your life might tonight be full with legitimate things, proper things. But tonight, is there no room in your life for Christ? Is there no room tonight in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this world to save you from sin? You've turned him away. Perhaps under conviction of sin in times gone by, you've turned him away. I plead with you tonight. Don't do it. Don't do it tonight. Don't turn Christ away tonight. The obstacles that hindered. But I want you to see as well the opposition that was displayed, because even at his birth there was opposition to Christ. The lovely Son of God, the eternal, omnipotent God, was opposed at his very coming into this world. And we know, of course, how that he was opposed when he conducted his earthly ministry. But even at his birth there was opposition to Christ. You see, though he was the King of Kings, the creator of the galaxies, the God of very God, yet he was opposed and rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Maybe you're doing what those in Bethlehem did that night. Because what they did in their rejection of Christ was opposing Christ and sidelining Christ. They didn't see him to be important. Is Christ relegated to the very least in your life? The most unimportant, insignificant part of your life? Christ is still rejected today. Oh yes, many want to trivialize and commercialize Christmas. Many want all the trash and the tinsel of the season, but they don't want Christ. They want the Christmas parties, they want the Christmas dinners, they want the Christmas activities, but they don't want the Christ of Christmas. Even at this season of the year, for we who know and love the Lord, this is an opportunity for us to speak of Christ. To use this time of the year to bring before people the real meaning of the season, but as you do so, you can be sure people will say, I don't want anything to do with that. Are you amongst the opponents of Christ tonight? Maybe you would say, I'm not opposed to him, not at all. Yet if you're not saved tonight, you're his enemy. Christ himself said, he that is not with me is against me. And tonight, if you're not saved, then you're as guilty as those innkeepers were in Bethlehem who opposed Christ and turned Christ away. The opposition in your rejection, you oppose the gospel. In your rejection of Christ, you're saying, no Christ for me. And you're opposing the very reason Christ came into this world. The obstacles that hindered, the opposition that was displayed, but finally, as we close tonight, I want you to see the opportunity that was wasted. The opportunity that was wasted. It's very clear that as you read Luke's account, that Joseph and Mary had tried to find a room in different places, and each time they had to move on. There was rejection after rejection after rejection, and each time they moved on. They moved on until they found somewhere. That somewhere, as we know, was a cowshed, a barn, a byre, a place where the animals were kept because mankind had no room for Christ, and so he moved on. Each time an opportunity was wasted because they never got that opportunity again. Christ came that night to Bethlehem. Christ came right into the very immediate presence of His creation. Came to man, yet many that night wasted the opportunity, turned Christ away, and never had that opportunity again. What a tragedy. What a tragedy it would be if you were to waste another gospel opportunity. What a tragedy it would be for you to say tonight, as you have said in other nights gone by, "No Christ, not for me." And then Christ to move on, pass you by. Because this could be your final opportunity. And if you pass it by, if you forsake it and you turn away from Christ and go out into eternity rejecting Him, meet Him then as your judge, He will reject you. And listen, that's a far greater rejection. Because that rejection is final, it is fatal. Those that night in Bethlehem wasted an opportunity. Never came their way again. I wonder tonight, as Christ comes into this meeting, then He comes to you and says, "For you I was born, for you I died, for you my blood was shed." What will you do with Him? What will you do with Christ tonight? Will you do with the Savior of the world? Will you, like those that night in Bethlehem, say there's no room, reject Him? Oh, that tonight you would receive Him. That tonight you'd turn from your sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We come to celebrate the birth of Christ tonight and next week and over these next number of days. But what it would be to celebrate a new birth. What it would be even tonight to celebrate and to rejoice with a sinner being taken out of their sin and brought into new life in Christ. Are you indifferent to Christ tonight? Happy to go with the flow for this time of the year, but really indifferent. Oh, I pray that tonight your heart would be softened. Is there room tonight in your life for Christ? Oh, tonight make room for Him. Don't turn Him away. Don't reject Him. But this Christmas season, receive Him as your Savior, the greatest gift this world has ever known, gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ came to save. He's seeking. He desires to save you tonight. He can save you. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't turn Christ away, but rather come to Him tonight.